Well, there's your phone. Go on, pick it up. You know you want to. There's a Facebook feed to check, a Twitter stream to tap into, tweets to retweet, Facebook posts to like. There's a whole parallel universe going on right now. Another universe in which to validate yourself or at least distract you from this one. That might not be you at all. You might not have caught the social media bug or just use Facebook really to connect with your family. But if it is the very urge you have right now, you might find yourself wondering at some stage, as my next guest has been, how much of a life lived online can be really an authentic life? You know, blood and flesh authentic. Is it truly you doing the tweeting or just the you you want to project? Who are you anyway? Melbourne-based writer Clem Bastow penned a great article in the Saturday paper recently, headed up as "I Tweet, Therefore I Am," and she joins me. Welcome back to Life Matters, Clem.
Thanks for having me.
This article is music to my ears.
I'm glad.
Because it's something that plagues my consciousness as well. What really prompted it for you?
Look, I've been online kind of on and off since about, 1998, I guess. So I've sort of seen a lot of it social media-wise come and go. And I've been at times incredibly prolific online and then really pulled back. And I've kind of been dipping my toe back in the water this year. I had 2 years off Facebook and about a year off Twitter. And so coming back at it with kind of fresh eyes has been really interesting to compare how I interact with it now based on what I once did, which was to be constantly online and have about 10 tabs open, each one having a different social media platform in it.
Yeah, I mean, we need to really give people a sense. If they weren't familiar with your online identity, you were a frenetic, viscerally open Twitter user and blogger. Your life was there for all of us to see. It was incredibly powerful.
Yeah, warts and all, I think is the phrase most often used.
Did it have an impact on you?
It did. I mean, because you kind of get to a point where, you know, you're experiencing something and you don't even think, should I put this online? It's just a natural thing that happens. I mean, you see it when you're out at restaurants. You see people taking photos of their food. It's that kind of thing. It just becomes this second nature, and that in itself is quite alarming. And when you do that, you know, I mean, the thing about social media is it is an interactive platform. So even if you're just talking about what's in the news, people have that instant access to you. I think when you're sharing your life online and kind of living this virtual reality thing, that instant access that people have to you can become a lot more personal.
I wonder how it affects too the way we, because this is what I've been thinking about, how does it affect the way we live in the physical world? And you see it. You see people kind of hunched over their phone. You know, I'm one of them. Kind of, there's a whole world going on around us, but somehow we've been, you know, captured by this little screen.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think there is a tendency to romanticise this notion of the past that, oh, once upon a time, you know, we interacted with the world in a lot more of an authentic way. Mm. But, you know, 50 years ago, perhaps people would have said the same thing about Kodak Instamatic cameras. Yeah. You know, I'm so sick of seeing people taking Kodak happy snaps all the time. So I think it is important to remember that people are still interacting with the world. I mean, would we rather that people didn't go out to restaurants or see live music at all and just exist in a bubble in their own living rooms? Or are we having to kind of adjust our idea of what it is to exist in the world?
Yeah, I mean, some would argue that the discourse we have online is as real and as authentic as any conversation we have anywhere, whether it's virtual or verbal. You though, you are wondering about whether or not those interactions are authentic, and it was, and certainly you mentioned the death of Charlotte Dawson as a prompt, that here was a very public death, and how it was played out in social media somehow felt gratuitous to you, I sense.
Yeah, I think what's important to remember is that grief is a real response, and so when you talk about things like this, I think it's important not to police how people experience grief. You know, you can't you can't predict how something like that will affect you. However, I think what happens on social media often is that there is a real disconnect from the kind of the real unanswerable questions. And instead you have these strange situations happening where, for example, there were people using her death as a kind of jumping off point for content creation or to sell tickets to shows that were sort of tangentially related to something that they thought might have had to do with her death.
Yeah, it's a bit gross.
And I think that, you know, that is one of the great things about the internet is that we're sort of free to express ourselves and experience the world. But I think that the flip side to that is that people do often forget that there are real people on the other side of the computer. You know, would you necessarily do that in real life? If you were hanging around with people who were grieving a person, would you say, hey, listen, guys, I've got this show on, or sound off about what you thought was the cause? I mean, it's happening again this week. You know, Mick Jagger's partner, Loren Scott, has died. And, man, I didn't know there were so many budding Daily Mail journalists out there, but, gee, everybody's got an opinion about it.
Yeah.
You'd think that they were all close personal friends with him, the way they sound off.
And the fact that, you know, she's not an accomplished fashion designer in her own right rather than just Mick Jagger's girlfriend. But that,
yes, well, that's a classic.
Not to discount the impact on him. So now that you're back in the online sphere, in a fairly prolific way but more moderated, what does it mean for you to be authentic online?
Well, I suppose the thing is, and the point of that article was to question the notion of authenticity online. I mean, the thing is, a phrase I once heard used, which I really grabbed onto with both hands, is the theatre of the internet. You know, the process of writing even just a tweet or a Facebook status, you're still having to consider that. You know, there's still a process of not drafting necessarily, although Facebook apparently is very interested in that. They have codes that are aware when you self-censor on Facebook.
So say you
write a status and you go, oh, maybe not. There's little gremlins in their computers that are actually aware that's happening.
Watching those words as they appear and get deleted in real time.
Yeah, so they're, I think, quite interested in using that to work out how to encourage you perhaps not to be so self-censoring. But I think, you know, this idea that I think people who are perhaps more recent converts to social media think that, I don't know, that they're just being themselves, that it's all authentic. You know, I experience all my emotions online. I'm very out there. You know, people who talk about something making them cry or making them angry or making them happy. And I think, you know,
it's all
how authentic can it be?
There's an element of performance. I mean, but life is a performance, isn't it, Clem? I mean,
absolutely.
Every conversation we have, there's, yes.
Yes, is there really true consciousness?
Now we've really entered the matrix.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. I think, you know, if say you had a social media, which I'm sure will eventually happen, where say someone had a head camera that was recording them 24 hours a day, then you could say that was truly unfiltered and authentic. But would that not then lead to a form of performance because you knew that people were watching? This is a question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, you get really kind of matrix stoner with this stuff, but I think it's just important to remember, you know, that it is kind of constructed version of yourself. And so this is the thing. I mean, even when I was very unfiltered and out there, and I think I still am to a certain extent, people often didn't think, you know, to consider how much I was holding back. So what I put online looks like 100% of what I'm going through.
Well, and it was raw. It was often very, very raw. You were, you know, talking about relationship breakups and talking about despair and talking about depression. I mean, it was all there. I mean, powerfully so, actually.
Yeah, I think it's important
to talk
about that
stuff.
But it wasn't
all there, you
think? No, you know, I mean, it is still a kind of, there's a process of deciding what to talk about. But I do think, if anything, the depression stuff and the kind of sorrow and despair, that I think was worthwhile because I think more often than not, I'm sure there were people out there who thought, oh, my God, what a loser. But, you know, once or twice a week I'll get a message from somebody saying, you know, thanks so much for being open about this. It makes me feel like I'm not alone, or it makes me feel okay that I don't feel great all the time. And, you know, we still really struggle with talking about things like mental illness. There is a real stigma there, and I think that that's something that social media has really been a fantastic boon for,
right.
These support communities, and people are able to discuss these things in a way that they might not feel comfortable discussing in real life.
Yeah, I mean, that's authentic, you know.
Yes.
That's authentic when we can cleave open those aspects of ourselves and share them for the benefit of others. One of the things that I often think about is the fact that people just struggle to sit in the company of themselves these days, and they're instant. It's like a Pavlovian response, like a rat at a lever. We reach for our phone quick. There's a whole stream there to kind of get in on. And I just wonder what that's done to our imaginative selves, you know. And that is an authentic aspect of ourselves, that capacity to daydream, to just let loose in our own state of being, you know.
It's interesting. I took up lap swimming in a very desultory fashion. I wasn't going very fast, but I found that a really powerful way to kind of reconnect with that daydreaming, basically. So I was sort of just going slowly up and down the lanes with my flippers on, and I would really just do a lot of thinking underwater because you can't. Well, actually, you can take a phone. I have seen waterproof phone cases.
Don't tell me
but
that.
But it's true. You know, I mean, I think I struggle with that, and I'm a long term, you know, committed single diner and moviegoer and the like, and it is tough, you know. It's hard to just put the phone down and sit there because we don't really talk to each other in real life, which is fine. I don't think that's necessarily a sign that humanity is doomed. But that temptation is always there. There's a fantastic scene in Young Adult, the film that Diablo Cody wrote, where Mavis Gary, the character played by Charlize Theron, she's sitting in a bar waiting for this high school sweetheart, and she just picks up her phone and just types, you know. And, I mean, we've all done it. You know, you're waiting for a date or waiting to meet your friends, and you just kind of pick out your phone and punch away at it so that you look unapproachable, I guess.
I recently deleted the Facebook app off my phone. Now I've got to log on, and it's really good. It's quite liberating.
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. I did the same. I took it out of my bookmarks bar. So having to just that action of having to type in a URL just is that slight stumbling block.
Excellent. It's liberating.
Sometimes all that you need.
So the thing is, you have taken this whole engagement to another level because people may not know this. You're doing this whole 1970s project.
Yes.
This is the performative aspect of this, the whole thing.
Yes, the great irony of this was I'm doing this thing this year primarily to try and save money and disconnect from capitalism, where I'm living in the 70s in inverted commas, so I'm, you know, doing a lot of op shopping and cooking a lot of Margaret Fulton food. But the great irony of all that is that I've had to record it via social media. So it becomes this if a tree falls in the woods thing that I'm very conscious of, where if I haven't written a blog post, which I haven't for about a month, I automatically think, are people assuming I've failed? You know, do they think the project is over if I'm not documenting it?
Do you feel that if you're not documenting it's not real, not happening?
I have felt that. I mean, it's interesting. I have a friend who works in the department at UCLA where they actually invented a major part of the internet. And he sent me this great list of, you know, rebuttals to people saying, why are you still on the internet? Most of the things that we use today were around in their infancy in the 70s. So in that sense, I'm not breaking the rules by being online. But it's very strange. You know, I sort of thought, well, I've announced this project, you know, if I just do it. Are people going to think that it hasn't worked if they can't see it happening? So I've been really enjoying Twitter and Instagram because you can just fire them off. It's like, here's my terrible white bread sandwich. You know, look, here's my shag pot carpet. They can see I'm still living it.
Here's my macrame project.
Absolutely.
Brown and orange.
So much brown and orange. But the thing is, more kind of anything deeper than that, I've been really resisting because the irony of it all is the project is going so well and I'm being such a 70s person that I'm spending a lot of time with friends and reading and listening to records and not being in the house where once upon a time I would have been just hanging out, say, on Facebook or Tumblr.
That is superb. We'll link to your blog that's illustrating this whole project. It's fantastic, Clem. Fantastic article, real
Thank
food
you.
For thought. And
did you read it online or did you read it in actual paper? That's the question.
Both.
Oh, well done.
Old-fashioned and new-fashioned all at once.
That's the way to be.
Yeah, I tweet, therefore I am. Clem, thanks for joining us on Life Matters.
Thanks so much.
Clem Bastow. And we'll link to her Tumblr site, Clam Bistro, actually, 2070.com.au, but we'll link to that on our Facebook page and on our website. And you'll have some thoughts on this. And she's going to participate in an event too on narcissism and selfies as well, in the spirit of this conversation.